Psalm 16 for our consideration this morning, as we have been moving through some of the first couple psalms. We've moved on to Psalm 16. It is found on page 486 in the Pew Bible, page 486. Let us hear God's holy, inspired, and inerrant word together. Psalm 16. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied to hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So ends the reading of God's word. Let us pray together. Lord our God, we come to your word again as your children, asking you to teach us, to open your word to our hearts, to apply it to our souls. We pray, O God, the Holy Spirit, that you will come. For apart from you, our teaching and learning is of no value. For you must be our teacher. So come and speak through this speaker. And speak to the hearts of all of us, that we might hear your word. And hear of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. For it is in his name that we do pray. And ask these things. Amen. In a few months, you will be able to go along the shorelines of the Atlantic Ocean and begin to look and see the sand art that the artists begin to do. And they spend a great deal of time doing their art along the oceans. Matter of fact, I spoke to one of them one time and who had this incredible art that he did along the shore, and he said it took him a couple weeks to do this one thing that he did. And it was unbelievable because he said he had to spend every day touching it up because the wind and just the ocean and everything would come and just distort it. But after a while, it just would go away. And all his efforts and all his time, he was certainly there to take pictures because it would disintegrate and it would go away back to sand. I wonder how often we spend a great deal of time on things that don't last. Now, it's okay to have hobbies and interests in things and spend time doing things. But maybe we spend too much time on things that don't last. Things that we spend time on that take away from time doing other things. Maybe spending time seeking after God, reading the Bible, praying, spending time with your spouse or your children. Here in Psalm 16, David speaks of a heart that seeks after God. And the blessings and the security of those who do so. And if you're going to seek after God, you will need to spend time doing so. But the reward is great. Listen to what Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 has to say about the reward. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29. Listen to what it says. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find Him if you seek Him with all your heart and with all your soul. You will find God. You will have a unique relationship with the living God if you seek Him. And Psalm 16 talks about a heart that seeks God and a heart that has found God. So let's look at this heart and see what's involved that we may seek after this God. We may have a heart that seeks God as well. First of all, I'd like you to notice the characteristics of a heart that seek after God. You see this in verses 1 through 4. Notice the characteristics of a heart that seeks after God. Now, the psalm is restful as you read it, as David ponders what anchors his soul as he commits his life completely to the Lord. You see that. It's a very peaceful, calm psalm. And in verses 1 through 4, we see the characteristics. So, first of all, I'd like you to notice the characteristics of a heart that seek after God, first of all, has an unwavering trust in the providence of God. Has an unwavering trust in the providence of God. Notice what it says. It says in verse 16, "Preserve me, O Lord, for in you I put my trust. Actually, literally, it says, "Watch over me, O God, for I have taken refuge in you." Refuge in you is a little better than "put my trust." Refuge. I've given myself completely to you. The word "preserve" that's used there, or "watch over," it's a word which means to keep or to guard or to protect. That's what David says. Lord, you do this. I've committed myself to you, and I'm trusting you to do this because you're my God. And then he says, "I put my trust or my refuge in you." Means to flee for protection, confidence in, and it means to do it once. David says, I committed myself, I've given myself to you, you are my God, and I lay my confidence in you, and I'll never do it again because it's there with you. See, he believes that God has control of all that happens to him. He's given his life to God. He believes in the providence of God. And he says, "Lord, I put my trust in you. Watch over me, literally, because I have taken refuge in you. I'm in your hands. You take control of me." Now, do you have that kind of trust in God? Do you believe the verses that talk about these things? About God working all things together? About God directing your path? Do you have that kind of trust? That God has hold of you like this? that He protects you. I remember when my children were younger and they were able to walk, I would never take them by the hand because their hands were so small, they would slip. So I would grab them by the wrist because I would be able to get a good hold on them there, and I knew I could get a hold of them better if I held them by the wrist. That's what God does. Doesn't let you slip. He grabs a hold of you tightly. David says, I know that's true. And I know what happens to me is because God ordains it. And I can trust in Him. And have nothing to worry about. Secondly, the characteristics of a heart that seeks after God recognizes contentment is found only in their relationship with God. Recognizes contentment is only found in their relationship with God. Notice what it says. Notice what it says. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my goodness is nothing apart from you. Now that's kind of not a real good translation. Let me read to you verse 2, a little more literal. I have said to Yahweh, you are my Lord, you are all the good I need. It's literally. You are all the good I need. I said to Yahweh, that's the covenant name of God, you are my Adonai. You are my strength and provider. And again, that next phrase is a little difficult, but I believe it means you are all the good I need. Yahweh's goodness, God's goodness, is the only goodness that will satisfy your relationship with Him, how He provides for you. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy your heart. What are you looking for in life to satisfy you? Material things of the world? Pleasures? What are you looking for? Nothing will satisfy you. Try everything. Look at the rich and the wealthy and look at the high suicide rate among them. Nothing satisfies. They can't find anything. They have it all. Nothing will satisfy except the goodness of God. And David knew it. He says, that's all that I need. That's the only thing I need is what I get from God, is my relationship with Him and my walk with Him. Contentment, peace, it's only found there. No other place. Then thirdly, the characteristics of a heart that seeks after God rejoices in fellowship with the saints of God. Rejoices in the fellowship with the saints of God. Notice what it says here in verse 3. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. They are the majestic ones. See what he's saying here? This word majestic. Excellent ones, glorious, noble, majestic. They share the same faith that David did. And that encouraged David. And it pleased David. And he knew that he would spend eternity with them. And they rejoiced in the things of the Lord and of His kingdom, just like he did. And he saw the Lord in their life and the Lord working in their life, and that encouraged him. Now, they're not perfect. And they don't share all the same convictions, probably, that David did. But they were God's people. They were different. You know, all different types of people. Some from different backgrounds. some formal, some not so formal. As one writer wrote, some with runny noses, and some had frogs in their pants, in their pockets, and, you know, just all different, you know, all different types of kids, you know. But do you have a special place in your heart for God's people? Do you? That's the heart that seeks after God. And David's saying, that's it here. The heart, that's the commitment to God and His people. So, characteristics of a heart that seek after God, has an unwavering trust in the providence of God, recognizes commitment or contentment is only found in their relationship with God, and rejoices in fellowship with the saints of God. The characteristics of a heart that seek after God in verses 1 through 4. Secondly, I'd like you to notice the contentment of a heart that seeks after God. So having a heart that seeks after God, notice the contentment of that heart in verses 5 through 7. Contentment flows from a satisfaction that David found in Yahweh in verses 5 and 6. And from the direction he receives from Yahweh in verse 7. So let's look at that about this contentment. First of all, a contented heart that seeks after God acknowledges his direction is from God. Acknowledges his direction is from God. Notice what he says. He says, first of all, in verse 5, O Lord, you are my portion, the portion of my inheritance, my cup. You maintain my lot. And actually, really, literally, it's you take charge of my lot. You take charge of my lot. And that word lot means my life, my direction. Lord, you are what I look forward to, and you direct all that happens to me. You maintain that. You take charge of it. You control it. Psalm 37:23. Notice what it says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And that's the word Yahweh. And he delights in his ways. It means the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And whoever he directs, he delights in his ways. See, he acknowledges that God directs his cup, his portion. What he gets is from the Lord, and his direction is from the Lord. And doesn't mean he understands everything the Lord does, but it's from the Lord. Can you say that with David? Lord, you direct my life. I know that. It's in your hands. Secondly, a contented heart that seeks after God remembers the promises of God. A contented heart that seeks after God remembers the promises of God. Notice what he says here. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Actually, it could be translated, a beautiful possession is mine. Now, the word here that's used for lines or measuring lines can also, way it can be translated, the lines or the measuring lines, it's often used in connection with dividing up the land of Canaan to Israel. David takes that word and uses it to describe God's providence in ordering or marking out and orchestrating the circumstances of his life. said, Lord, just got you orchestrated and laid out the land for Israel. That's what you do for my life. You lay it out. You mark it out. You orchestrate it. Now, in spite of all the difficulties and the problems David had, and you can look back and read them, the Lord sustained him. Look at verse 5. O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance. And his sovereignty completely satisfied him. The second part of verse 5. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. The Lord's sustenance and His sovereignty completely satisfied him. In spite of all the problems he had, he could say, Lord, you satisfy me. Do you look at your life that way? Can you say that the Lord is good in spite of the difficulties and the struggles and everything you go through? David remembered the promises of God. He said, I have a good inheritance. What God has given to me, how He has blessed me. Sure, there's struggles. Sure, there's problems. But God's good. He's blessed me. I have a future inheritance, which is much better than what I have here. Do you look at your life that way? Then thirdly, a contented heart that seeks after God rejoices in the counsel of God. Rejoices in the counsel of God. Notice what he says. It says, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. It's really even in the night times my thoughts instruct me. Literally, that's more like what it's saying there. More like even in the night times my thoughts instruct me. What does Psalm 119:24 say? Look at Psalm 119:24. Look what he says the Word of God does to him. He says, and your testimonies, which is the Word of God, are also my delight and my counselors. David says, you want to know where I get my counsel from? You want to know who my counselors are? It's God's Word. That's where my counsel comes from. And Psalm 1, blessed is the man who delights in the Word of God, who meditates on His Word day and night. And if you think it's not awful to not have the Lord speak to you through His Word, look at 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 28. 1 Samuel chapter 28. If you think that it's not a bad thing, listen to what happens to Samuel when the Lord doesn't speak to him. Look what it does to him in verse 6 of 1 Samuel 28. And it says, and when Samuel inquired of the Lord did not answer him either by dreams or by Urim or Thummim or by the prophets. And it drove him crazy. So he said to his servants, find me a woman or a medium that I may go inquire of her. Drove him crazy that the Lord wouldn't speak to him. Then also verse 15. Now Samuel, when he called up Samuel, said to Saul, why have you disturbed me, bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore. A horrible thing to not hear God. God takes His Word, David says. And I meditate on it, and I think about it, and I cause it to run through my mind. And then at night, it runs through my mind, and I think about it. And it's there. And it encourages me. the word which I know, which I have been thinking about during the day, it encourages me at night. That's what he says here. Do you see it? Even in the night times, my thoughts instruct me. The word of God, which he was thinking about, which he studied during the day, those thoughts, the word that became such a part of him, are now his thoughts. And those thoughts at night encourage him and give him good things to think about at night on his head. So, the contentment of a heart that seeks after God acknowledges his direction is from God, remembers the promises of God, and rejoices in the counsel of God. Then thirdly and lastly, notice the confidence of a heart that seeks after God. Notice the confidence of a heart that seeks after God in verses 8 through 11. David had such confidence that he even stared death in the face and felt secure. Isn't that amazing that he would do that? First thing I'd like you to know, the heart that seeks after God is confident of protection by the power of God. Notice what he says in verse 8. I have set Yahweh before me, the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand and I shall not be moved. And that word moved is a word which means shaken, slipped, decay, overthrown. Nothing can happen to me. There's confidence that nothing can happen to him unless God permits it. What does the Lord say to you? Matthew 28, behold, I am with you always, even to the end of time. Romans 8, 38, nothing can separate you from the love of God. John 10, our shepherd, the good shepherd, he holds us secure. The power of God, the protection, there's confidence. That's what he says. I set Yahweh before me always. He's at my right hand and I will never be shaken. Do you have that confidence? Do you know your God is that kind of God? And do you believe it? David says you can. You can trust your God like this. Secondly, a heart that seeks after God is confident of the restoration of the body by the power of God. Restoration of the power by the body by the power of God. Notice what he says. He goes on to say, therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. And it's really literally, even my flesh will dwell securely. My flesh will dwell securely. We believe, like David, that even though we may die, we will see God in our flesh. It will be resurrected. Look at Job. Job chapter 19, right before the Psalms. Job chapter 19, this wonderfully encouraging passage to us. Job chapter 19, verse 26. Actually, let's do verse 25. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. Verse 26. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. It's the Old Testament translation of 1 Corinthians 15. And then 1 Corinthians 15, 51. 1 Corinthians 15, 51. The same encouraging truth. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then this shall be brought to pass, the saying that it is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Incredible, isn't it? An incredible, unbelievable gift. Because of sin and the fall, man dies. Yet he's immortal. Because our soul lives forever. And yet, in our flesh, we will see God. And then, verse 10, a prophetic verse. For you now will not let your Holy One to see corruption. Acts 2, 24. That's interpreted about our Lord Jesus. We see here a prophetic passage about Jesus our Lord. About what? That's referring to Jesus, not David. Acts chapter 2, verse 24. You hear the comment, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible he should be held by it. For David says concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is at my right hand, that I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart rejoiced, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, my flesh also rests in hope. For you will not leave his soul in Hades, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. Passage referring to our Lord Jesus. Then Acts 13, it's also, again, referring to our Lord Jesus in verse 34. And that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken thus, I will give you the sure mercies of David. Therefore, he also said in another psalm, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. Speaking of our Lord Jesus. Verse 10 also goes on to say, for you will not leave your soul in Sheol. You will not leave. That word leave means to abandon or desert. To let go. There was a movie we just saw not too long ago about a pastor in Korea who put a box on the door of his wall for mothers who were abandoning their children who were dying. It was called the drop box. And these children would be abandoned, but someone was there to rescue them. He was. And he would take in these children. They would be abandoned or deserted. It was going all over the city. But now they had a place. But you see, your God will not abandon you. He will not desert you. He is there for you. And if you turn away, he will discipline you and bring you back. Isn't it incredible what he will do? Thirdly, a heart that seeks after God is confident of the full manifestation of the revelation of God. Of the full manifestation of the revelation of God. Notice what he goes on to say here. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Pleasures at your right hand forevermore. talking about the future. What you have in the future forevermore, not just now. David's referring to the future in the presence of the Lord. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 6. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. Do you thirst? Do you want that? Do you want everlasting life? Do you want the new heaven and the new earth? Then verse 22, chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And He showed me a pure river of water, of life, crystal, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. They shall see His face, and His name shall be on their forehead. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Confidence. A heart that seeks after God. Protected by the power of God. Confidence of that. Confidence of the restoration of the body by the power of God. Confidence of the full manifestation of the revelation of God. This is a heart that seeks after God. Psalm 16 talks about a life that has been changed by God. A life that has spent time seeking God. And God responding with His blessing by changing that heart and life. Would you like to have this kind of relationship with the Lord God? Remember what Deuteronomy 4:29 says. If you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. You will experience a peace and a joy and a commitment and a confidence that only a heart that truly seeks after God can find. We saw the characteristics, we saw the contentment, and we saw the confidence. May God give us all a heart that really seeks Him. And may we experience the blessings that will change us and touch us and make us the kind of people that He wants us to be.